This is OTR-FM, part of the Ion Radio Network.
So John Boehner said that Ted Cruz is Lucifer in the flesh. So Huffington Post asked a Satanist who said that Ted Cruz is God's problem, not Satan's. We'll discuss. It is Thursday, April 28th, 2016, just after 11 p.m. in the Eastern Time Zone from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. Matt Connerton Unleashed starts right now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody. It's that time again. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We are live. It's Thursday night. Coming to you from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio, as we do five nights a week with Matt Connerton Unleashed, Monday through Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation 2. And, of course, Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we're also on OTR-FM, the premium channel on the Ohm Times Radio Network. And we have the television edition of Unleashed, which you can see Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation TV. And then there was a replay at 11. And we get the shows up on YouTube later in the evening as well. This week's show is up. Actually, I would encourage you to watch both this week's Unleashed and Ward 13 with John Hopwood, the show that immediately precedes Unleashed. I'm usually on there, too. And then John sticks around for my show. And we had a lot of fun this week. This week was I'm actually surprised that I haven't heard from either of the two people who were picked on quite a bit. I'm sure some sort of angry Facebook message is imminent. But yeah, we had a good time this week, so you can check that out on up on our YouTube if you go to you're probably already there on IPM Nation. Or you might be on the OTR-FM site, but if you go to IPMNation.com, click the YouTube link in the upper left, and it will take you to our YouTube channel, and you can watch those anytime. Not right now. Wait until after we're done here, of course, but other than that, you can watch those anytime. So we encourage that. Let's see. Tonight, we do have a phone line open for you if you'd like to call in, 617-917-4IPM. That's IPM as in IPM Nation, 617-917-4476. You can text us if you'd rather not call. If you're more comfortable sending a text message, you can do that too. But I'd love to hear your voice. And you can also tweet me at Matt Connerton. You can use the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page. If you haven't liked the page yet, please do so. A little bit of late-breaking news, more of a programming note, but it's late-breaking. I've confirmed a guest for tomorrow night. Aaron Cloutier will be joining me via phone. I think he's in New Jersey. We're going to talk a little bit of music, and then we won't keep him on for the full hour, I'm sure, so we'll discuss some politics, too, after we let him go. But he's going to join me at the top of the show tomorrow night. He's got a band called Davila, a project that he's finally coming out with his second album, Davila, D-A-V-O-L-A, if you want to look it up online. Aaron is really, really a talented guy, and we have kind of an interesting history because this will sound odd, but Aaron and I don't really know each other that well, but we used to be in a band together. Now, that probably doesn't make sense. How do we not know each other very well when we used to be in a band together? Well, here's what happened. So this goes back quite a few years now, but this is how Aaron and I met. So, I was in a band called Broken Hell. I guess technically I still am because, we never officially broke up, just on a very long hiatus. But so we were, I don't know, I think we were probably in our second year of the band, and we had parted ways. We were having an issue, some scheduling issues, I think is really all it was, with our guitarist at the time. And as a result of that, a decision was made to try out some other people in that role, because we were a four piece. So there was me on bass, Evil Mike on guitar and vocals, and then we had Andrew Chaney on guitar. And Mike would, even though he was the lead singer, he would also play most of the leads. So Andrew was really a rhythm player, and then we had Rich Curtis on drums. And Andrew, there were some issues with Andrew, and so Mike and Rich really wanted to audition some other guys. Me being the nice, patient person that I am, I wanted to kind of give Andrew a chance to redeem himself, but I was outvoted on that. So Aaron came and jammed with us, and it went really well. And so we ended up asking him to join the band, and then really through no fault of his own, it seems like as soon as he was in the band, he was right back out of the band relatively soon, and Andrew returned to the fold. And I don't remember if we ever actually played a show with Aaron. I think it's all a blur. It all happened very quickly. I think we might have actually played one show as Broken Hell with Aaron. But then, eventually, Aaron was back out and, Andrew was back in. And like I said, it's all a little bit fuzzy, but I do remember feeling really badly about the whole situation, because I didn't like the way that Aaron, was treated, because he's extremely enormously talented, just a fantastic musician, but he's also, just a really nice guy. And I didn't like the way he was treated. It almost seemed like he was. I don't think this was anyone's intention, but I felt like he kind of got used as a pawn to kind of teach Andrew a lesson, and I didn't think that was cool. Not my idea. I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody, but a couple other guys in the band, and well, it wasn't my idea, any of this. So anyway. I didn't always agree with some of the decision-making in that band. But, you know, sometimes you get outvoted. So that's why Aaron and I don't know each other that well, but we actually were in a band together. but obviously, I mean, Aaron's a true pro, and there was never any bad feelings. And of course, when he had this new project, Davila, you know, he got in touch with me online. This was probably 3 years ago. So it's been a few years, and I was really impressed, and I invited him on the show, and he reached out to me. His second release is about to come out, and he wants to come on tomorrow night, and he said that he's got quite a wild story to tell as far as how this album was made. So really interested, and he didn't say anything more than that, but I trust him. If he says he's got a wild story to tell, I believe him, and I'm very curious to hear it. So anyway, that will be happening tomorrow night on the show. Of course, our Friday night show, you can hear exclusively on IPM Nation 2. We're only on OTR Tuesdays and Thursday nights. And when we're doing something a little different, like having a musician on or something like that, we usually do that on a Friday anyway. Friday nights are kind of our, you know, we're going into the weekend, we kind of lighten things up a little bit. So that will be tomorrow evening. In the meantime, there is much to discuss, of course, in presidential politics, as there is every day. Ted Cruz has chosen a running mate, Carly Fiorina. Jeez. Oh, boy. And she's scary. You know, longtime listeners know my concerns about her. I mean, she sounds like, you know, when you hear this woman talk about foreign policy, she sounds like she's ready to just start firing off nuclear missiles. I have very deep concerns about her. Not that it matters. Ted Cruz is not going to be president. Therefore, Carly Fiorina is not going to be vice president. But what an interesting thing. See, typically, almost always, you know, a candidate announces a running mate once they've secured the nomination. Ted Cruz is nowhere near securing the nomination, and even in a brokered convention, he's unlikely to be the nominee. So for Ted Cruz, who is not the nominee, and most likely will not be, for Ted Cruz to have announced a running mate is very unusual. Usually a running mate is announced by the nominee or the presumptive nominee, typically kind of close to convention time. And then, as tradition has it, at the convention, and again, it works the same both for the Republicans and the Democrats, at their respective conventions, the vice presidential candidate will make a big speech. I mean, the VP pick will make speeches before then, small speeches, obviously an acceptance speech, for example, when their candidacy is announced for VP. But typically the big speech, you know, is at the convention for the VP pick. I remember, in fact, it's funny to look back on it now, but in 2008, Sarah Palin, despite her being a disastrous choice for VP for John McCain, she actually impressed a lot of people with her speech. She made a big first impression with her big speech at the Republican convention. A lot of people gave her a lot of credit for the speech, thought it was a good speech, you know. And then, of course, everything that came after that, you know, it didn't take long to figure out that Sarah Palin is, you know, she's like a Hooters waitress with learning disabilities. But she managed to give a good speech to start off. And that's typically one of the things that you do at the convention is you present your VP and, you know, and try to get a rousing speech out of them. So we'll see. But Carly Fiorina will not be giving any such speech because she will not be the VP. So it really is irrelevant, but it's interesting. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
To be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live. It's a Thursday night. Of course, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're on OTR-FM, the premium channel on the OM Times Radio Network. And we're five nights a week on IPM Nation 2, one of our three live channels on the IPM Nation live station. Of course, the live station, we do broadcasts from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. We are powered by Ambit Energy. If you want to learn how to save on your energy bills, make sure you go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com and find out more there. You'll be very happy that you did. And of course, we're sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists. So if you need help building, or not building, but buying a home rather, unless you, I'm sure there's resources for building a home too. But if you need help buying a home, like I always say, it's probably the biggest purchase you'll ever make. Go to themortgagespecialists.com and you can set up a consultation. They'll come to you or you can go to them. So themortgagespecialists.com is the website. And want to get serious about something here for a minute because I didn't realize I learned something a few minutes before going on the air, and I'm very, very concerned about this. You know, I am someone who's always been very concerned about nuclear proliferation, nuclear armaments, the possibility of nuclear war. I mean, obviously, this far removed from the Cold War, it's not. You know, these days we think more about terrorism, and when we think about things in terms of nuclear weapons, we tend to think more of, you know, the worries about a terrorist getting hold of a nuclear weapon and whatnot. When I was a kid, you know, the Cold War was still going on, so it was worries over a nuclear exchange with, at that time, the Soviet Union. And, of course, we still worry about that to some degree even today with, you know, these terrible scenarios that these insane people who we think make good presidential candidates for whatever reason when they talk about, you know, setting up a no-fly zone in Syria and whatnot. And, well, you know, if we have to shoot down a Russian plane, hey, what are you going to do? Of course, that would trigger most likely World War III. So these are all things that I'm concerned about. But there's an element to this that I had not considered until tonight that has me very, very concerned. Something I'd never even thought of. And As my regular listeners know, one of my favorite websites to get new information from, a different perspective on things, where you can find a lot of folks who really kind of look beneath the surface on some of these issues and really kind of dig in to the heart of the matter. What an awkward. Dig into the heart of the matter? That just sounds wrong. But you know what I'm trying to say. Of course I'm talking about my favorite website, and hopefully yours, rightwingwatch.org. Because according to this article on rightwingwatch.org, Rick Wiles warns that the Target restroom policy will spark nuclear war, you know, because of the whole transgender thing. So it apparently, and again, this had not occurred to me, and I have to give him a lot of credit because I like it when someone presents me with a kind of a new way of looking at things, a new perspective that I hadn't considered. It had never occurred to me that, transgender, folks, I have a good friend who's transgender, but it never occurred to me that they might, spark Armageddon. But apparently, it is true. According to this, Rick Wiles devoted the first half of his True News program on Monday to railing against Target's policy of allowing transgender people to use the restroom that matches their gender identity, warning that the retail chain's bathroom policy has helped turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah, which God will now destroy through a nuclear war with Russia. This is something I had never considered. And I would, first of all, not that they're listening, but I would appeal to the good folks at Target, even though I understand they're trying to, they care about everyone's rights, clearly, and they don't want transgender people to feel like they can't shop at Target. And look, I would say to my friends, listeners who may be transgender, it's nothing against you. Please understand, but I feel that Target must reverse this policy because we have to consider, this is something that affects us all on an existential level. If you are, in fact, I say this with compassion and love to my transgender friends, but if you are, in fact, allowed to use the restroom of your choosing at Target, if that will, in fact, trigger a global thermonuclear Armageddon, then I'm sorry, but we're going to have to make some hard choices here. let's see. Let's play this as about 2 minutes of audio here of Rick Wiles. Let's take a listen to this, and we can hear in his own words why transgender people using the bathrooms at Target will cause us all to die. This is just harrowing stuff. Let's take a listen here.
Target's statement on toilet rights says, "We certainly respect that there are a wide variety of perspectives and opinions," said Target spokeswoman Molly Snyder. "As a company that firmly stands behind what it means to offer our team an inclusive place to work and our guests an inclusive place to shop, we continue to believe that this is the right thing for Target." Now listen to this. She said, "Target stores have single stall family restrooms for those who may be more comfortable with that option. How about if I just urinate on your floor? How about that, Molly? Because you're defecating on this nation."
Wow.
Well, the American Family Association has organized a national boycott of Target stores. Over 500,000 people signed an online petition last week pledging to stay out of Target stores. Doc, the militant toilet rights store policy comes months after Target announced it would ban gender-specific signage in stores. In other words, the toy aisles won't be separated by signs saying boys and girls. Same thing for other product categories. Target is going gender neutral in their signage.
It just doesn't make any sense.
What does if you understand that this is a revolution? Our minds are being captured, Doc, by perverts. This is what happened in Germany. The Nazis were perverts. They took over Germany. It was a radical socialist homosexual movement called the Nazi Socialist Party. They're now in control of America. Insane people better rise up and oppose it quickly. This is just the beginning. This is not the end of their campaign. This is the beginning.
Oh, my God. Pun fully intended. Yes, so clearly... not only is this the beginning of our march toward the end, but it's the leftist homosexual Nazis are going to take over and all that. Scary stuff. You know, I don't think there's anything that needs to be anything more that needs to be said about that. By the way, so I did mention in the opening some colorful things. You know, we talked about Ted Cruz picking Carly Fiorina to be his running mate and the unconventionality of that because he's not even the nominee. But the other interesting thing about Ted Cruz is his own party despises him. They really do. They just hate him. I think it was last week or maybe it was the week before we played the audio of Peter King. Congressman Peter King of New York, who is a pretty colorful guy sometimes with his language, and said, and he's the only one I had heard just come right out and say it. But he said during an appearance on Morning Joe, he said he was kind of chuckling when he said it, but he said, "I hate Ted Cruz and I will take cyanide if he is the nominee." Obviously, he was, you know, kidding about the cyanide. But I don't think he was kidding about his hatred for Ted Cruz. And then John Boehner. This came out today, this afternoon. John Boehner said that Cruz is Lucifer in the flesh. The former House Speaker also says that he would vote for Trump and called the two of them texting buddies. So he kind of has some bias there. Obviously, if he's on the Trump train, then, you know, he doesn't want Cruz. But, you know, I've talked a lot on this show for years now about the debt ceiling and the danger of allowing the country to go into default. And, you know, I can think of at least one instance where we came right to the edge and it was really Ted Cruz's fault that we came as close as we did, because, you know, even when the other Tea Party types were able to be reasoned with, you know, and somebody, Boehner or somebody, was able to, or maybe it was Mitch McConnell, was able to explain to some of these people, look, I know you don't want to keep incurring more debt, and we're with you, but this isn't the way to solve that. We can't allow the country to default. It was Ted Cruz who just dug in and just wouldn't budge on this. There's other reasons they hate him too. I mean, he just kind of makes them all look bad sometimes. Yeah, Boehner hates him. Let me read a little bit of this quickly before we head into the break. When it comes to Texas Senator Ted Cruz, even a few months' time out of Congress has done little to lessen former House Speaker John Boehner's contempt for his former Capitol Hill colleague. Lucifer in the flesh, Boehner told an audience at Stanford University on Wednesday night, according to the Stanford Daily. He said, and there is audio of this, but it's a little, the audio isn't great, so I decided not to play it. I'll just read it to you. But according to this is what he said. I have Democrat friends and Republican friends. I get along with almost everyone, but I have never worked with a more miserable son of a bitch in my life, unquote. In fact, Wednesday night was not the first occasion that Boehner has compared Cruz to Lucifer. He used the epithet last month during a Q&A session with reporters at the Futures Industry Association conference in Boca Raton, Florida. As far as Donald Trump goes, Boehner remarked that he had golfed with Trump for years and that the two are texting buddies, a comment Cruz seized on in his rebuttal on Thursday. We'll finish up with this when we get back. We got to take a quick break. Stay with me and we'll see what Ted Cruz's response to this was. This is all new to me. I didn't pre-read any of this. I'm just learning of this now. So this is great. I love this kind of stuff. This is the most fun election ever so far in 2016. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
IPMNation.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live. We're only halfway through, so if you'd like to call us, you can. 617-917-4476. And I haven't heard from Dave Ridley in a while, actually. He's a frequent caller. Where'd you go, Dave Ridley? Where'd you go? He's out there somewhere. I know you're out there. So remember that, Moody Blues? Anyway, let's finish up with this article about Lucifer. Let's see. And Boehner's comments. As far as Donald Trump goes, Boehner remarked that he had golfed. Okay, I read that already. And here's what Cruz's rebuttal was. Quote, If you want someone that's a texting and golfing buddy, if you're happy with John Boehner as Speaker of the House and you want a president like John Boehner, Donald Trump's your man, unquote. Cruz told reporters during a stop in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Ooh, burn. Cruz insisted he never worked with Boehner. And in response to being called Lucifer, Cruz added that Boehner, quote, allowed his inner Trump to come out, unquote. Yeah, that's actually kind of a clever response, I guess. In other words, he's saying, you know, just like Trump likes to insult people, Boehner apparently insulting people. It's interesting, too, though, the part about how they never worked together. Now, of course, Ted Cruz is a senator and Boehner was in the House. But, I mean, obviously, there was communication between the two, particularly during these budget battles. Cruz is notorious for his toxic relationship with the congressional colleagues. It turned radioactive in 2013 when the Texas senator played a pivotal role in shutting down the federal government with his high-stakes attempt to defend Obamacare. Yeah, that was the other thing. I was trying to think of what else there was. I knew it wasn't just the debt limit. Republicans were widely blamed for the historic disruption, and Cruz's colleagues heaped scorn on him as a result. The vitriol has waned some, but Trump has gleefully exploited it, maintaining that as the standard bearer, he can unite the party, unlike Cruz, who has little support among the people who work with him in Congress. On Thursday, Representative Peter King, Republican of New York, seized on Boehner's comments and again showed he's not letting bygones be bygones over the situation, over the shutdown. King said on CNN, quote, maybe he gives Lucifer a bad name by comparing him to Ted Cruz. Listen, what John Boehner was most concerned about was Ted Cruz perpetrated a fraud and a hoax when he brought about the shutdown of the government on some kind of a vague promise that he was going to be able to take Obamacare out of the budget or end Obamacare, unquote. Boehner's successor, Paul Ryan, who has been neutral throughout the primary and will chair the Republican National Convention this summer, said he has a better relationship with Cruz than Boehner did, but didn't necessarily come to the senator's defense. He said, referring to Boehner and Cruz, quote, I have a very good relationship with both of these men. I'm going to keep it that way, unquote. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest expressed confidence that Boehner was simply being candid when he offered his take on Cruz. Earnest told reporters, quote, obviously, Speaker Boehner was speaking based on his own experience. I don't know that he was looking to be helpful or harmful. I think he was just looking to be honest about his own view, unquote. In the sit-down on Wednesday night, Boehner was more magnanimous when talking about fellow Ohioan John Kasich. Boehner said, according to the report, quote, the governor requires more effort on my behalf than all my other friends, but he's still my friend and I love him, unquote. On the Democratic side of the race, Boehner said that while Hillary Clinton will win the party's nomination, Bernie Sanders is a likable guy and the most honest politician in the race. That's an interesting comment. He didn't say the most honest for the Democrats. He said the most honest politician in the race. He also apparently impersonated the former Secretary of State saying, quote, oh, I'm a woman, vote for me, unquote, while reportedly later noting her accomplishments. Boehner's comments also included a reference to the ongoing FBI investigation into Clinton's use of a private email server while she was at the State Department, speculating on what might happen if the scandal widens. The former speaker said, quote, don't be shocked if 2 weeks before the convention, here comes Joe Biden parachuting in and Barack Obama fanning the flames to make it all happen, unquote. I got to tell you, I'd love to see something like that happen, but I would be very surprised. Boehner also had some fun with how people botch his name, telling the crowd, quote, you can call me Boner, Beaner, Jackass, happy to answer to almost anything, unquote. I remember, and by the way, it looks like Boner because it's B-O-E-N-E-R. Or, well, there's an H in there, too, somewhere. But I remember years ago when Boehner first became the House Speaker. And you all remember, of course, Anthony Weiner, who was, you know, forced out of office for accidentally tweeting his Weiner. I remember he made a joke once about, you know, who does John Boehner think he's kidding. We all know how you really say his last name, kind of riffing on his own name at the same time. You know, because I think somebody had asked him, you know, why do you go with Wiener? Why don't you just pronounce your last name Weiner? Because, you know, he could probably get away with saying, no, it's actually Weiner. But he was like, come on, obviously it's Wiener. And who does John Boehner think he's kidding? It's Boehner. So then there's this HuffPost put up this article that I referenced in the intro. Let me pull this up. Is Ted Cruz Lucifer in the flesh? We asked a Satanist. He says Ted Cruz is God's problem, not Satan's. Okay. So it says here, a campaign dominated by big and difficult debates witnessed perhaps its most perplexing and certainly its most spiritual one yet on Thursday morning. Is Senator Ted Cruz actually Lucifer? It's a question prompted not by conspiracy theorists who've wondered whether Ted Cruz is the Zodiac killer finally stepping out in public after decades in hiding. Rather, the charge was leveled by someone with a bit more gravitas. Former House Speaker John Boehner, who told students at Stanford University that the Texas Republican was Lucifer in the flesh. Cruz brushed off the insults at a press conference on Thursday morning, seeming at times to welcome the animus of a former lawmaker who embodied the Republican establishment. But what about the substance of the charge, damn it? Is there indeed something satanic to the senator? Do Republicans in Congress see the dark threads of Luciferianism in their colleague from Texas? To get to the bottom of this, HuffPost called up Lucian Greaves, a spokesperson for the Satanic Temple. His response was that Boehner was basically full of it, trying to absolve the worst of Christianity by calling him a product of Satanism. Greaves said, quote, it is past time we stop blaming the activities of the upholders of the Christian faith on a satanic philosophy. Boehner is trying to convey that if it is bad and he disagrees with it, it is of Satan and Lucifer. And if it is good, it is of Christ. That is what is problematic with the Christian ideology. I don't think Boehner is necessarily saying that he actually thinks Cruz is a Satanist, because I just don't think he is thinking that hard about the issues, unquote. Greaves also said, quote, these are simple-minded people. Our situation in U.S. politics is much worse than you can imagine, unquote. Lest you think that Greaves is a closet Cruz fan, lashing out at Boehner as a way to boost his candidate of choice, fret not. He despises the Texas Republican. He said, quote, I think he is a real disaster. I think he is possibly one of the worst. I think we have been on a race to the bottom for a long time now, and you keep thinking it can't get worse, and people would wise up after a clown like Sarah Palin or George Bush, but then you see people lining up around Ted Cruz, unquote. So there you have it. An expert says, no, Ted Cruz is not Lucifer. He probably would prefer that he was. I mean, this expert, mind you, not Ted Cruz himself. So there you go. Ted Cruz, of course, he does seem to enjoy the hatred that he is able to engender. And I think it's because he just, you know, he's trying to be the outsider. And he is in some respect. I mean, Trump can best portray himself as the outsider because Trump has never even held public office, whereas Ted Cruz has been a senator. But Ted Cruz and is a senator currently, Ted Cruz. But he's trying to sort of, you know, at a time when outsiders really kind of carry the day. I mean, when you think about it, some of the people who've had the most excitement behind them around their candidacies, even though they fizzled out, you know, Carly Fiorina, there was a lot of enthusiasm about her at one point. She was an outsider. She's never held office. Now she fizzled out pretty badly. But for a while there was some enthusiasm around her. Same thing with Ben Carson, another guy who's never held public office. So it seems to be, you know, people even see Bernie Sanders as an outsider. Now, Bernie Sanders has been in Congress a long time. But, you know, he's technically not even a Democrat. He's an independent. And he's seen as kind of an outsider, even though he's really not. I mean, he's been in Congress a long, I forget how many terms he served, but he's been there quite a while. So he's not really an outsider. And neither is Ted Cruz. But I think Ted Cruz, some people just enjoy being hated, but I think they kind of enjoy that negative attention. But I think Ted Cruz too, you know, it's kind of just, he thinks it makes him look like an outsider, which is why he probably kind of enjoys it. And it probably does help him in some ways in terms of looking that way. When a guy like John Boehner, who obviously is very much an insider and very much a part of the Republican establishment, when a guy like John Boehner says bad things about Ted Cruz, it probably does help his cause in some way in a year when outsiders are what people are most enthusiastic about. But I mean, in the end, it doesn't matter. I truly think that Trump will be the nominee. In fact, there's an article on HuffPost, GOP elites fold. They're starting to fall in line. Actually, this has me worried because I'm starting to look, if we're going to have a contested convention, and I'm dying to see a contested convention, I'm very, very excited about this, but I'm almost afraid that it's going to be anticlimactic, because if it's a contested convention and at the end of it, Trump ends up the nominee anyway, then it's not that exciting. I mean, it'll still be exciting to see it all unfold, but yeah, I don't know. I still say John Kasich would be a phenomenal, I know you're all tired of hearing me say it, but God, what a great general election candidate he would be. And poll after poll shows he's the one guy who could really beat Hillary. Trump and Cruz both lose in every poll. Anyway, we got one more segment to go. We'll be right back. More Unleashed coming up. Stay with me.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our 9th season here on Om Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everybody, as we cruise into our final segment tonight, Matt Connerton Unleashed. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Aaron Cloutier from Davila will join me via phone. Looking forward to chatting with him, catching up, hearing some of his new tunes. And, of course, you can hear us 5 nights a week on IPM Nation 2 at 11 p.m. Eastern, of course. from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio, powered by Ambit Energy and sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists. And Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we're also on OTR-FM, the premium channel on the Ohm Times Radio Network. As far as I know, still the only primarily political program on the Ohm Times Radio Network. So very happy for that opportunity. And don't forget, this week's television edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed is up. And we had a lot of fun. John Hopwood and I, you got to see it to understand. And watch Ward 13 as well. So lots of good stuff. Let's see. As we cruise into our final segment, there is an article that I mentioned. It's short, but it's up on, this is from the Washington Post. GOP elites are now resigned to Donald Trump as their nominee. Trump captures the nation's attention on the campaign trail. Yeah, I mean, and look, I'm not surprised that they're starting to fall in line because, you know, he's got well over half the popular vote in these primaries. So even if he doesn't get to 1237, and I guess it's mathematically unlikely that he'll go into the convention with 1237, but, you know, he doesn't need if he still has by far the plurality of votes, he can't to deny him the nomination would be very, very dangerous, because then all these Republicans who voted for Trump, they're going to feel disenfranchised. They're going to feel ripped off. They're going to be angry. And that's not good. You know, look, I think even if, see, here's the problem. They're in an impossible situation. If they nominate Trump, he probably loses. But if they nominate somebody else, they probably lose anyway. Trump has put the Republican Party in an awful situation. Now, unless he really pivots to a general election strategy and just stops offending people. But his negatives are very, very high. And his negatives among women are particularly bad, which is probably part of why Cruz picked Fiorina. Let's see what it says here. Throughout the Republican Party, from New Hampshire to Florida to California, many leaders, operatives, donors, and activists arrived this week at the conclusion they had hoping to thwart or at least delay. Donald Trump will be their presidential nominee. An aura of inevitability is now forming around the controversial mogul. Trump smothered his opponents in six straight primaries in the Northeast and vacuumed up more delegates than even the most generous predictions foresaw. He is gaining high-profile endorsements by the day. A legendary Indiana baseball coach Wednesday, two House committee chairmen Thursday, and his rivals, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Ohio Governor John Kasich, are making the kind of rushed tactical moves that signal desperation. The party is at a turning point. Republican stalwarts opposed to Trump remain fearful of the damage the unconventional and unruly billionaire might inflict on the party's down-ballot candidates in November. Now, they have right to be concerned. They have reason to. But many also now see him as the all-but-certain nominee and are exhausted by the prospect of a contested July convention, according to interviews this week with more than a dozen party figures from coast to coast. Said Tim Pawlenty, former Minnesota governor and one-time endorser of Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, quote, "People are realizing that he's the likely nominee. The hysteria has died down, and the range of emotion is from resignation to enthusiasm," unquote. In Colorado, where Cruz outfoxed Trump in a series of clamorous meetings earlier this month to win all of the state's 34 available delegates, former state party chairman Dick Wadhams said, quote, "Fatigue is probably the perfect description of what people are feeling," unquote. He continued, quote, "There is an acceptance, a resignation or whatever, that Trump is going to be the nominee. More and more people hope he wins that nomination on the first ballot because they do not want to see a convention that explodes into total chaos. People just want this to be over with, and we need a nominee," unquote. By the way, I personally want absolutely to see a convention that explodes in total chaos. With likely Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton pivoting to a general election and her well-funded allies readying for a full-out assault. Republicans are eager to unite quickly. Some are fearful that waiting until the convention in Cleveland to pick a nominee would put the party at a disadvantage in raising money and engaging the Democrats. Let's see. Mike Dennehy, a veteran New Hampshire-based party strategist, said, quote, "The lion's share of Republicans want the process settled. There's anxiety setting in about the process, and that's what people are tired of. They just want it done. They want the fighting to stop, and they want a general election campaign to begin in a meaningful way," unquote. So does Trump. Celebrating his sweep in Tuesday's primaries, he declared himself the presumptive nominee. At a rally the next day in Indianapolis, he proclaimed, "We're just about ready to put it away, folks." Cruz is pushing back on the idea that Trump is nearing a lock on the nomination. He took the unusual step Wednesday of choosing a running mate, businesswoman Carly Fiorina. The new ticket, as well as an independent group opposed to Trump, see Indiana's primary on Tuesday as their best and perhaps last chance to derail the frontrunner and deny him the nomination. Opposition to Trump still runs strong in parts of the GOP establishment. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, a vocal Trump critic and former presidential candidate, praised Cruz's pick of Fiorina in a CNN interview that aired Thursday, in part because he said, quote, "She takes on Trump really well," unquote. Yeah, that's true, actually. Speaking to reporters Thursday in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Cruz predicted that Trump will not win the majority of delegates, 1237, and blamed the mainstream media for bestowing what the senator considers a false sense of inevitability on Trump's campaign. Always blame the media. It's like when these guys, when they can't figure out anything else to say, they need someone to blame. It's always the media's fault. Trump blames the media for being unfair to him. Cruz blames the media for being too good to Trump. Stupid. It's just intellectually lazy. I hate that. Anyway, Cruz said, quote, "Donald, sadly aided and abetted by media network executives who are all liberal Democrats, who are all rooting for Hillary, are quick to say that the race is over," unquote. By the way, I've said this a million times. Anyone who thinks that the media is somehow against Trump doesn't understand how the media really works. And I guarantee you, if it is Trump versus Hillary in the general election, anyone who thinks that the media wants Hillary to win doesn't understand how the media really works. Trump winning, first of all, Trump being the nominee is a great story. It's a scary one, perhaps, to a lot of people, but it's a great story. We live in an era of infotainment. It's a great story. Trump winning the presidency would be a great story. Hillary winning the presidency would be predictable. A lot of people think Hillary Clinton will be the next president. Trump winning the presidency would be a great story. Not good. Well, neither of them are good, but it's a great story. You know, I'll never forget. I know I've mentioned this, and we're almost out of time. I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but I know we have a lot of new listeners. One of the great examples of this that I ever saw, I remember it vividly because I was really upset at the time because it was 2004. So it was John Kerry versus George W. Bush. And I still, to this day, galls me that this country actually elected George W. Bush to a second term. I desperately wanted Kerry to win, not because I thought John Kerry would have been any kind of a great president, but I desperately, desperately wanted George W. Bush out. I was just so heartbroken that we gave him a second term. But that night, and I'm not the only one who picked up on this, that night watching the, because I would watch, you know, the different networks and see who was calling which state for which candidate. When Fox declared George W. Bush the winner, you would think they would be happy, right? Their guy won. They're the conservative network. But they clearly weren't. They almost seemed kind of down about it. And I wasn't the only one who noticed this. People were commenting on it the next day. I remember Laura Ingraham. I heard a little bit of her show, and she was saying, it's so weird. You would think they would have been happy, but they seemed kind of bummed. I know why they were bummed, because after what we went through in 2000 with Bush v. Gore, and the whole and going to the Supreme Court, and it dragged on and everything. That was a great story. This was anticlimactic. Bush winning a second term, it was kind of anticlimactic. John Kerry winning, even though, yeah, to the people at Fox, the opposing team would have won, but it would have been a better story. It would have been more interesting. It just would have been more interesting. A changing of the guard. See, they may be partisans. I mean, they wear it on their sleeve which team they're on, but they're still journalists. Some of them, anyway. I might be using that term a little loosely, but some of them. And journalists want the good story. They want the interesting story. And that really does kind of trump everything else. No pun intended this time. But that's, they want the more interesting story. Partly because that's just how journalists are wired, right? They want to be able to write and talk and broadcast about interesting things. But also, you know, it's also a business, you know. When there's an interesting story, everyone's television ratings go up. More people are listening. More people are reading. You always want the better story. So anyway, there is more to this article if you want to read it. It is up on, like I said, this one is from the Washington Post. You go to WashingtonPost.com. There is also a story on Politico that I didn't get to, but I'll just mention that it's there for those who want to check it out. Because it refers to something I was talking about earlier. It's titled, Why Ted Cruz Loves to be Hated. So I told you my theory. And I'm pretty sure I'm right. But I'll check this out. I'm curious what they have to say. We are out of time. Join me tomorrow night again. My guest will be Aaron Cloutier from Davila. We're talking about his new project. And I'm sure we'll finish up with some political stuff. That's it for now. Good night, everybody.